Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard, hope you're having a great week. I'm having a pretty good week myself. You know, sometimes you get those little things that begin to kind of add up. We've talked about that before. And they become stressors in their own right, right? And then you start thinking, oh, it's just a small thing. But you got to, like, take some time to deal with that sort of stuff. You know, like we had the one of our business accounts, pardon me, got, you know, I guess you would say acquired in the Huntington Bank thing. And so there have been some problems with the transition. I'm still open-minded about all of this. But, you know, had something that needed to get resolved and it hadn't been resolved. And I went down there and they were great. They were super nice. They had to reach out to corporate to get some things done. We got that handled. Okay. Now, and we'll find out in about a week. But had to go get my annual parking pass from Mississippi State. I don't know why we can't just call or email. We have to appear in person. But it's interesting. You know, today is the first day of class. And, of course, with the first day of class, parking services is out actively ticketing students and others, and I said, you know what, I need to go take care of this today because I don't want to pull up every time and worry about that, especially when they provide the parking pass, right, because we're working media. Got that handled too. Get home, got a tree across the driveway, made a phone call, guy said it may be tomorrow. Nope, they were able to get there today. So that was just when you get everything else handled, then you got a new stressor, but we got that handled. And so there's several other things. I'm not going to bore you with the legacy of my day. But it's one of those things where once you kind of get that stuff handled, all of a sudden you've got such peace of mind. And none of it's big stuff. But when you let a whole bunch of little stuff kind of pile up, it feels like it's overwhelming at times. You're like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, and, you know, I got to make my arrangements to go to Minnesota, and I had to get the stuff straight with the bank before I can do that, so we'll be able to do that next week, and got a reminder this morning about some media credentialing stuff, and I remembered that Texas and South Carolina weren't open for credential request at the time that I did our Mississippi State stuff, and Minnesota and everything else. I got all that stuff handled, you know, so we've had a very productive run here. And, you know, I really don't like going to town, okay? Let me explain to you why that is. Because, like, I wake up every morning content deprived. Like, I don't feel normal until I get the first Mississippi State story of the day written. And it doesn't matter if everybody else has already got one or two things written. Until I feel like I've contributed, I don't really feel like my day has begun. And so we've had some media opportunities, obviously, this week that run around 11 o'clock. And so that's just right around the time, like, you can get up, maybe you get something up quick if you've got something already in the gears, you know, something already in the pipeline. But if not, then you got to handle it later. And then, of course, when I go to town, you know, that you say, okay, I'm going to go to town, but I'm going to take care of this, take care of that. Next thing you know, it's 2-3 hours later. You've gotten a lot done, but you got a lot more left to do. But along those lines, too, it kind of hit me, you know, that my kids don't get a chance to get home very often. And they love Strange Brew. They love Strange Brew. And so I decided yesterday, told the bride, hey, bride, I'm going to send all the kids some Strange Brew. And so I did that today. And they prefer to do it online, right? And so they don't pay me for any advertising. I'm a star, a Strange Brew lover. And went last night to Churn and Spoon, got some ice cream. I said, you know, I'm going to do this. And it felt so good to do it, right? I mean, I text everybody, didn't tell them what was coming. Hopefully they won't listen to the show today or tomorrow. But nevertheless, text everybody, hey, send me your address. Going to send you a little something to remind you of home. And those kind of things are important to me. It truly is. We had a thread earlier. Somebody was talking about their biggest fear is, you know, KT's health. I mean, we all share in that fear. It's not my biggest fear, though. As I've shared with you guys before, my biggest fear is that I'll pass away someday and the people that I love will not truly know how much I love them, right? And that's one thing that's very important to me. And so I try to go out of my way to make the effort to let them know. And this is just a small thing. And I'm also supporting a small business here in Starkville. And we've got a new gaming place, too. I don't know if you guys know that, too. I went by there today. They just opened, like, on the 15th. And I wanted to go by and introduce myself at Mockingbird Games. They also don't advertise with us. So that's not – I'm not in any way being paid to say this. But went in to kind of introduce myself. And guy Mark's his name, and his wife is a professor. They made the move down from Indiana. And he decided to open up. It's a D&D shop, basically. And they do what's it called? Hammer something. Warhammer, maybe? But anyway, it's a collectibles and gaming place. It's not video games, and it's not sports cards or that kind of stuff. And but it's a cool place. They're going to do some tournaments. And I just thought, you know what? Hey, it's small business. I'm going to go by, support them. And that's one of the things that we do in Starkville. And that's important to me. And you guys have been so gracious with me. What kind of person would I be if I didn't go spread the love to other people? And one of the things that I kind of pointed out to him, I said, you'll notice we don't have a lot of national chains here when it comes to restaurants. He goes, yeah, I have noticed that. Why is that? And I said, well, we just don't go support them. And I said, it's nothing against them. And I know that they employ Starkville residents. But the reality of it is I know when I go to a local establishment to eat or to buy clothes or to get my veterinary work done, anything like that, here is what I know. I'm buying a baseball bat. You know, I'm helping pay for a dance lesson because these are my neighbors, right? And that's one of the things that is so important to me, is to be a great citizen of the great city of Starkville and to support my neighbors. And I hope they support me too, but that's not why you do it. Because yes, I can go dial it up online and I can order something and I'll have it, but that money goes to some out-of-state corporation. But I know when I do a local business transaction, that money, more times than not, is going to stay here in Starkville, and some of that money is going to wind up in the hands of Mississippi State. And that's how I see life. And you know what? I may have to pay a little bit more. But to me, to keep Starkville thriving, and our downtown merchants have had a really difficult stretch. Now, it's going to be great, and it looks great down there now. We're not finished yet. We're getting there. But I've made it a point to, here in the last month, go downtown, even though it's incredibly inconvenient at times, to support my neighbors downtown. And when I go down there, I see that, well, this shop's closed and this place is closed, and it disturbs me. It does. And so, as always, we encourage you to support local business in your own communities, but certainly in Starkville. You guys want Starkville to thrive, right? And there's not a better business or business operation to support other than the Eat With Us group, right? They do so much within our community. And they've been there for us through all the big moments, as you guys know, whether it be a graduation or a rehearsal dinner or, you know, celebrating a Bulldog victory. You know, we've always been able to go put our feet under their table and get great service, great food at a great price. Bulldog Burger Company is one of our fine sponsors and, again, a local vendor. And we love them. And we've loved them for a long time. Matter of fact, I saw John Bean the other day. Just walking down the street in the shopping center where I was. And again, him spending some of his money locally too. And so I encourage you, as always, not just because they're locals and because they're Bulldogs, but because they do a great job. All the rest of it is kind of a bonus, right? I can check all the boxes. I can support a local business. I can support a Mississippi State partner. I can also support people that do a great job. And that's one of the reasons why you see such localized advertising on this show. We've had some other opportunities too. But I like to keep it in the family. It's important to me. It is. And so I encourage you, next time you're in town, if you're in town or on the way to town, chances are there is a Bulldog Burger Company on the way. Stop by and have some food and support the Eat With Us group. And students are back in town too, as you guys know. And I would encourage you, go to the eatwithus.com website. And you can order gift cards for your favorite Mississippi State students or faculty members. And they can have a night out on you. But it's not just about giving to others. You got to eat too. I don't just eat for nourishment. I eat for enjoyment. That's why I love eating Bulldog Burger Company. Find your own favorites on their menu. You'll be glad you did. Get those spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And again, I'm still hung up on the smash burgers. I like the traditional smash. The bride likes a black label. And that's okay, right? There's something on the menu for everybody. And you get that chocolate shake. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And one of our floaters today, Miss Ellen, kind of mentioned that line to me. And I appreciate that, Ellen. I appreciate you listening to the show and supporting the spa. And that's, again, the localized effort here in Starkville. But it just shows that you guys are listening, and I appreciate that. And so proud to partner with the Eat With Us group. Guys, when we did Rock Vegas, I don't know if you guys remember that. The first ever NIL concert in the Southeastern Conference was right here in Starkville, Mississippi. And your good friend and host put all that together. And, hey, you know, when you look at the money that's being thrown around today, it feels like a drop in the bucket. But it's what we needed to do to kind of, you know, promote people. It's like more than just ask for money. Let's give people an experience. And our friends at Bulldog Burger Company and the Eat With Us group were corporate partners with us in that endeavor. And it was amazing. And I thank them so much for making those bands and everybody affiliated with those bands really feel like big timers here in Starkville. And I remember, you know, Steve Blaze from Lillian Axe told me, he goes, you know, I don't know that we've ever had better hospitality anywhere. And that's a band that's been playing since the 80s, you know. And that makes me proud. You know, the very first time they ever play in Starkville is because of us, and then they got to see the best of Starkville. Great stuff. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right. We had a chance to speak to Jakeem Shumpert-Perkins today. And as you guys have heard and read from both Phil Oldholt and Jeff Lebby, Jakeem is a guy that appears to be ascending on the Mississippi State roster. And he mentioned today, he goes, you know, I didn't play last year. I redshirted. And he goes, I look at it now as it was a blessing because I wasn't ready. It's a very mature approach. There's a lot of young people, of course, they get here and they think, dude, I'm supposed to be playing, you know. And Jakeem was one of the top junior college offensive prospects in the country and redshirted. Reminds me a little bit of the Martinez Rankin story, right? Because, you know, we beat Ole Miss for Saquon Miles, and we're going to talk about these guys a little bit later. And I love what Lovey said the other day. We've got to own the junior college system in Mississippi. Now, some of those guys, of course, need a little seasoning. And now that you've got the 5-for-5, I think it makes junior college players maybe a little more attractive because maybe you don't need them to start right away. And on the offensive line, as we have learned through the last couple decades, offensive linemen from the junior college ranks typically need a year to kind of figure things out. We went through that on the defensive side with Pernell McPhee too. You know, he had a pretty good year the first year, had a great year the second year. Montez Sweat, pretty good year the first year, great year the second year, right? And so guys that are going to work in the trenches have to learn how to kind of maneuver and operate and facilitate their responsibilities against bigger, faster, stronger players than they've ever played before. And so I kind of see the same thing with Jakeem. Now, again, as I have said on the show before, he hadn't played a meaningful snap of college football yet. Okay? So there's going to be some growing pains. I don't want everybody to think, oh, my gosh, this is the next Derek Sherrod. This is, you know, the next big thing. We don't know that. There's not enough evidence to support that. But it does appear that Jakeem is probably the guy to beat at right tackle. And so if I, based on the context clues that are available to us through our media opportunities, here is what I think. You know, Jeff Lebby said, you know, we got six, maybe seven guys. We need to get 8 or 9 ready to go play winning football on the offensive line. I think we're pretty close. But across the board, I would say Miles McVay will start at left tackle, barring something totally unforeseen. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.com. You guys know me well. You know that I'm very much an advocate for therapy. We've had a great partnership with BetterHelp for a long time now, but I don't know that you've gotten to see the reviews. We've had some Boneyard listeners that have reached out and said, Steve, I tried BetterHelp. We absolutely love it. You can see those reviews for yourself at BetterHelp.com/reviews. You can see it in real time, right? The reviews are updated daily with hundreds of people saying how much they love BetterHelp and how useful it's been to them. So visit BetterHelp.com/reviews. See for yourself. You'll see why. The average live therapy session rating is 4.9 out of 5 stars based on over 1.7 million client session reviews. The feedback from people is honest and earnest. If you've got something bothering you, if you need to sit down and talk with someone, visit BetterHelp.com and check it out today. See the reviews, see what stands out, and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. DJ Chester, a guy that was a former All-SEC freshman center, will start at left guard. And having him next to Cannon Boone, that's a lot of snaps between those two, and Cannon obviously has gotten more. But Chester, another guy that has been a center, will only help Cannon Boone with those checks. At right guard, it absolutely appears that L.J. Prudhomme has locked that position down. Now, playing on the right side that's worked some at right guard and right tackle is Blake Steen. You know, he started at right tackle against Southern Miss, had the injury, he was lost for the year. And he had a difficult game. Again, kind of going back to, you know, guys acclimating to a new system, new communication. You know, Steen struggled a little bit in that game, I think it's fair to say. And so we lose him, and of course lose him, and then Reese gets hurt, and Luke Work is not 100%. And that's three guys that we were expecting to do some big things with. And it was a bit of a mess last year. But Steen, again, has worked some at right guard and at right tackle, and it looks like he will be the swing guy on that side. He has some positional flex and a lot of snaps under his belt. We added him out of the spring portal. He was the number one offensive lineman in the portal during the spring. And so other people are like, hey, what does that mean? He's a bust. No, what it means is that we have upgraded the talent around him. So the fact that we have a guy of his caliber, a guy with his experience, basically working as the third team guy on the right side, or the third offensive lineman on the right side, not third team, but second. I think that actually says positive things about the offensive line and not negative things about Blake Steen. Blake Steen can play football, and maybe he's better suited to play right guard. But the fact that we've got a guy that's got that many snaps under his belt, the turning second team, again, I think speaks well. Again, speaks more positively about offensive line recruiting, retention, and development. And again, what's so interesting, we talked about it in the beginning, you know, we always want to get the ascending player, but we wanted to get guys with some power four snaps under their belt. And again, we have learned the hard way when it comes to offensive linemen, you better have some guys that know how to handle themselves when the band is playing. And so you get Chester, who had a couple of years of experience at LSU. You get Prudhomme. And so you have got – think about what you've got there. You got Cannon Boone, who is a six-year player and at times played really well last year. And other times had some moments when, you know, he wasn't exactly what we wanted him to be. And some of that, too, is because some of the players around him weren't SEC players at times. Because of all the injuries, we had to kind of force some guys into play before they were ready. And throughout the spring and in the early fall, early preseason, pardon me, that's one thing that we've heard is how strong the interior offensive line is. And now all of a sudden, the guy that we signed expecting him to be our starting right tackle last year is now the third tackle. Right? That's a great thing. Now, behind that, I was told that Dalton Toothman, recently took most of the snaps with the second team at center. And you've heard him mentioned a few times. And this is a guy, too, that, you know, we beat Auburn and Ole Miss for. This is a guy, maybe we're not expecting a lot from this year, but that's probably a guy that could be your center in the future and at least a guard in the future. And I don't, and those guards are important. In no way am I diminishing the importance of the position. But, you know, your center's got to be a guy with a high football IQ that can make the checks and make slides and protection. And so the fact that he's getting quality reps in practice now tells me that there's a good chance he's going to play a little bit this year. And, you know, maybe it's in mop-up time or whatever. But the reality of it is every snap that he gets is a great one. Remember, with the new 5-for-5, there's no redshirt, right? So there's no need to hold him for four games to protect the redshirt year and four more years of eligibility. And so that's an important thing, too. And Cannon Boone's a guy, too. I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. Man, I love Cannon. Love his dad. I mean, they're great people. And that's one that we flipped from Virginia Tech late, if you recall, out of Dickinson, Texas. But Cannon's not going to be here next year. And so you get Dalton's feet wet a little bit, it gives you a running start in the next year. And, you know, again, hopefully you'll have, you know, Chester and Prudhomme and those guys back next year. You know, you lose Cannon Boone. I mean, the reality of it is we've kind of worked through this thing. You're not losing a lot on offense anyway. But getting Dalton some snaps, I think, kind of gives you some building blocks for next year. And, again, you got a chance to get most of these guys back. Then there's Saquon Miles. And, again, that was a very contentious recruitment, one that we had to work incredibly hard. And if you recall in the days leading up to his commitment, there were some Ole Miss insiders, Dr. Evil quotes, that suggested Saquon Miles was going to go to Ole Miss. What they didn't know is that he had already committed to Mississippi State. And we never went for that. We didn't fall for that. I know some of our fans, they assume that Ole Miss always knows something before we do. That's not correct, especially in recruiting. There are some other things that they've done quite well and kind of lapped us in some respects. I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. But in that particular situation, we had the right read on it. We had the better sourcing. And Saquon's a guy, too. I feel like we pretty much know who our starting five are. Then you start thinking about, okay, you want to have three tackles, three guards, and two centers, right? What looks like right now that with Blake Steen kind of factoring in at right guard, it looks like you've got three guards. Looks like he could be a swing guy tackle. And then you've got your two centers with Dalton Toothman. So where does Saquon Miles fit? Well, I think because Steen could factor in at tackle, Saquon could be that third guard. Could be. And there's some other guys in the mix, too. I mean, Jalen Matthews is a guy that we think has some great potential long-term as a tackle. But he needs to get reps, too. And so as I began to put this thing together, I think it was a week ago, Lev said, I feel like we've got six. We feel really good about six. I include Blake Steen in that number. And then with the emergence of Dalton Toothman, and I love yesterday what LJ said, that like Dalton's like always in the complex, that he's always there. One of the first guys to get there, one of the last to leave, and you love that for a freshman. You love, like everybody in high school thinks they're going to play as a freshman, even on the offensive line. That's what they all think. And then they get here and reality kind of sets in, right? You're getting positional drills, you're getting some team concepts, and then you got a walk-on guy, you know, second or third team walk-on guy shoving you around out there. So then all of a sudden, a lot of those young people, you've got a choice to make, right? You think, well, you know what? I need a year to get bigger, faster, stronger. And then maybe next year, I'll be able to contribute at a higher level. And so that's what I think is so great about the Dalton Toothman thing, is that he's just not accepting that. He's not just sitting here thinking, okay, next year will be my opportunity. He's like, my team may need me this year. So I'm going to give it all I have. I'm going to work out, I'm going to listen to stuff, and I'm going to go to meetings, and I'm going to get out there and give a great effort, whatever the coaches need from me, because I might have to play this year. And again, with the no redshirt rule, it's not a scenario where everybody can just kind of assume that, hey, I'm not going to play this year. You've got to prepare yourself, because as we have learned, especially in recent years, you know, you're one offensive line injury away from having your season wrecked. right? And so you better have guys that are ascending. You better have guys that are bought in. And this offensive line thing is really kind of the last thing on offense that you guys have questions about. And I do too, right? Until we see them out there working as a cohesive unit, we don't really know what we have. But the individual pieces appear to have taken some steps to improve their individual skill set. And you got to love that aspect of it. And again, I think it's fair to say Miles McVay is going to be your left tackle. I think historically he has played mostly right tackle and some guard. So there will be an adjustment there. But a lot of offensive linemen will tell you, O-line play is O-line play. You've just got to have, you know, that great kicking drop step and be able to get out there on the left side, because you're going to deal with some guys that are a lot lighter and a lot quicker than you. And so they're going to get out there in a seven technique and just try to run by you. And sometimes the best you can do is just get a good shove on them, right, and just shove them off their flight path to the quarterback. And so, again, McVay has played a lot of football. And so I wanted to kind of address this offensive line stuff just because you guys don't get to go to practice. I mean, you don't get to ask these guys questions. And one of the questions that we ask, and I know it gets a little bit repetitive at times, hey, who has kind of stood out to you, right? Who were the guys that gives you a good fight? A lot of guys, you know, got a little ego about that. Nobody, you know, I'm the king of the hill, right? But it's just so interesting to hear the defensive lineman talk about the offensive lineman and the improvement year over year. To hear the running backs talk about the improvement year over year on the offensive line. And again, that's not throwing shade at anybody last year. Everybody here, I believe, gave the best effort they possibly could. Just some of those guys just weren't SEC players. And some other guys were banged up. And so that's important to understand. Now we have more depth, we have more talent, and it's up to Phil Oldholt and Jeff Lebby to get this group rolling. And really, when you begin to think about it, guys, you know, we're less than 20 days away. So we'll get through the Saturday scrimmage, and then we're going to start getting ready for week one. That's what's going to – the next thing you know, we're in game week. I mean, it's that simple. You know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, while it feels like this time of year drags a little bit, but then when you kind of start doing the math – you begin to kind of realize, you know what, this thing is a little bit closer than I realized. As we record the show today, it's 17 days away, right? So we get to the weekend, get through the Saturday scrimmage. Guess we're 2 weeks away and a week away from game week. We'll have that first presser of the season, and we go sit down with Jeff Lebby the Monday before the UL Monroe game. 2 weeks from Monday. Yeah. And so, again, yeah, I mean, just let that kind of sink in for a second, right? I mean, you know, camp is nearly over. Still got some work to do. And that's one of the things, too, that I do enjoy hearing from the players. Hey, we did some good things. There was a lot of back and forth, but we still got a lot of work to do. I love people that kind of value the work, right? Which reminds me, I had a discussion here recently. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, metaphors and things like that. I'm a little hippy-dippy, as you guys know. And so I was having this discussion kind of about work with somebody. And I said, you know, I always root for the spider in the battle between the spider and the fly. And they laughed at me. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, when the spider and the fly get together, the spider has caught the fly because the spider did the work. And the fly became entangled. The spider was more prepared for the encounter. And it proves to be a chance encounter because the fly itself just doesn't have the sense to stay out of the web, right? And so I think that metaphor serves us well, personally, and when we look at sports. Those that do the work are rewarded. And those who just kind of fly around all willy-nilly get caught by those that did the work. And I think that's an important distinction. And in some respects, we're all either spiders or flies, you know? And it's one of those things that, you know, you look at life, you know, they're not my rules, they're nature's rules. And lessons are all around us. And I think that's one of the most important ones when you consider, right? It's like the old adage you've heard, you know, those that fail to prepare, prepare to fail, right? It's the same thing. The spider is prepared. And so when I think about this offensive line, like, we're not going to get lucky. We got to do the work. We have to put in the work to ensure that we're ready. When the encounter comes, we've already got the web established. We got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that have established themselves as the best offensive lineman on our team. And that is the most important position on the team, and certainly on offense, is having an offensive line that can protect your quarterback and to pave the path for your running backs. Every bit of that is on the backs of those offensive linemen. And nobody needs to prepare better than them. You know, we can get our quarterbacks and receivers out there, and they can throw routes all day. But you don't have rush in your face. You know, you may play a little 7-on-7. You may have a DB out there covering your receiver, so you can work on ball placement a little bit. You know, work on refining your routes. But none of that means anything if we can't protect the quarterback. That's why it's so incredibly important. And again, that's one of the reasons we signed so many guys in the portal on the offensive line, because it was a glaring weakness last year, and we all knew it. It didn't take some football guru to figure out Mississippi State had trouble protecting the quarterback last year. And some of that was on Blake, right? Some of that, there were some sacks last year that were unnecessary. But we don't hold anybody to a standard of perfection. We're looking for progress rather than perfection. We strive for perfection, and sometimes we settle for progress. But the reality of it is, Blake a lot of times last year didn't have a chance. Like, I go back to that Tennessee game. Guys, we're fixing to win the football game. We're driving down to make it a 2-score game and just put it away. And we give up an absolute inexcusable sack that nearly planted our quarterback in the ground. And that wasn't on Blake. And I don't know if you go back and look at that, Brennan's breaking open. Blake's waiting for Brennan to break open. And instead, he gets, you know, helmet, you know, planted in his backside. We had to go help him up off the turf. And so, again, there are some times, too, that there's one in particular. I remember he ran out of bounds. And all you had to do was throw the ball away. You know, that's what you expect from a senior, right? But people make mistakes. But we made way too many mistakes on the offensive line. And I'll tell you, part of that is I don't think we were prepared. And one of the reasons we weren't prepared is we made the decision after December portal that we're going to drop Cody Kennedy and hire Phil Loadholt. Well, Phil Loadholt, obviously, is going to have a different evaluation of offensive line prospects than Cody Kennedy. And you say, well, they coach the same position. Well, they're two different people. They've had two different lived experiences. And so, of course, Phil Loadholt kind of recruits in his own image. And he got some guys here in the spring that did not get the benefit of spring practice. And then those are the guys like Zach Owens and those guys, you know, they ended up playing. You know, Blake Steen was the guy who got here post-spring. And so many of those portal guys, and if you recall, there were some guys we signed in December with Cody Kennedy that were gone in the spring, processed out, shall we say. And so we didn't have time to properly prepare those guys. And again, you know, some of those guys were a little bit talent deficient. This year, you've got guys that had the benefit of last year, and then we had the December portal and no spring portal. So everybody involved had the benefit of spring practice and summer conditioning. Then they push into fall camp. So there's a lot of retention that goes along with that. Rather than everybody showing up second session of summer school and not, you know, having to learn the playbook, having to sit through meetings to find out what are my assignments here, what are my keys here, what are we doing passing off these stunts and twists, you know, what's my footwork here, what's all that look like? So there's a lot of guesswork involved in all that. And so last fall, we kind of depended on the foundation that was already poured into players before they got here. That's just not the case this year. And so, I'm not ready to declare the offensive line fixed, but I think it's fair to say that we have progressed in a very, very good way. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And since we're all friends, you should have his phone number, 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair, not a call center, not a receptionist. You can call or text him direct. That's how important your business is to him. He's willing to give you his cell number through me, because he wants your business. A lot of people out there vying for your business. When it comes to your mortgage, you can't take any chances. Stick with a mortgage professional. The best name to know is Blair Chandler. 25 years in a meat grinder of an industry, and he can give you the best chance for approval because he knows all the ins and outs of underwriting. He's not going to waste your time and effort, and your emotional energy on an enterprise is not going to work out. And if you're not ready, he can help you get ready. And when you are ready, he can get you that pre-qualification letter, which makes shopping for a home so much easier knowing your financing's already approved. So whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler. Bulldog through and through, season ticket holder in multiple sports, has a place here in town, licensed to practice in multiple states. Be sure and give him a call when it's time to buy a home. That's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay, so Jude hits me up and said, Steve, I was fascinated by the corporate rock expose you did in regards to Nirvana and grunge and all that. Let me just tell you this. I am still grunge to my core. You see me walking around. I'm typically dressed pretty grunge. I just have like an 80s hard rock shirt on. I love grunge. But he goes, hey, are there any other conspiracies out there that maybe we're unaware of? Well, there's a lot of them. And I thought one that we would discuss today is something you probably didn't even realize happened. Did you know Clear Channel, we've talked about that, about how corporate radio has been a thing. And you go back, I guess it was Clinton that signed the bill that basically allowed a monopoly in many respects when it comes to broadcast radio. So after 9/11, Clear Channel basically banned some songs and albums and bands because they felt like that they were inappropriate in a post 9/11 world. Now, some of these tracks went back into rotation a couple months later, but basically Clear Channel sent out a memorandum to all their stations that we were going to pull 164 songs from our playlist. And you would say, well, that's wild. Well, guys, that basically is censorship. It's not necessarily government-sanctioned censorship, but it is censorship. I am a staunch advocate for the First Amendment. I think we should be able to pick and choose and listen to whatever we want, and I don't think we should have people making those decisions for us. As I have said many times, and you guys understand this because you're not idiots, the reality of it is that it's not normal speech that needs protecting. It's speech that maybe the general populace doesn't agree with. That's the beauty of freedom of speech. Now, freedom of speech does not give you freedom of consequence. You know, if you go out there and you accuse somebody of illegal activity without evidence, and you basically defame their character, well, then you deserve to be sued. You may not be, but you deserve to be. You can't go out there and make negative and untrue statements about other people. That's not covered by free speech. Some people are learning that lesson the hard way here as of late, is they go out and accuse people of illegal activity they have nothing to do with. Then all of a sudden a process server shows up at your house or you get a cease and desist letter and you're like, hey, I got free speech. Well, no, it's not protected. That's not protected speech. And some people would say that hate speech is not protected speech. They even tried to get that amended. But the reality of that is, too, you have a right to your opinion. You have a right to speak your mind. And the federal government cannot do anything to impede that. And if they do, then you are a great candidate for a civil rights lawsuit as a plaintiff. And it's interesting. There's some incredible lawsuits out there right now about free speech. And there are some others that are coming. And what the Supreme Court has ruled is even offensive speech is protected, as it should be. You know, I go back to Luke Skywalker and the Two Live Crew. One of the most important tests of our Bill of Rights in the history of the United States. A lot of people said, "Hey, well, this is, you know, you got to ban this." Well, of course, they write the hit song "Banned in the USA," and they had record companies basically pulling these records from the shelves because of federal intervention. That is absolutely a violation of the First Amendment. Along those lines, too, right? So, like, if somebody writes something that we disagree with, well, you email that company and say, "Hey, you need to pull this." You are basically working against that person's civil liberties. Now, you are more than welcome to voice your opinion. You have freedom of speech and you have the freedom to protest things that you disagree with. But expecting the federal government to join your cause is a violation. You know, it's just like we've seen that recently with the White House press corps, when the Associated Press was banned from the big room stuff when it came to the Oval Office. And they filed a lawsuit, and they rightfully won. You cannot ban a legitimate media entity for viewpoint discrimination. You also can't provide selective access. You can't favor one media entity over another. Right? Now, you're more than welcome to grant what interviews that you want, but when certain media entities are given preferential treatment, it allows those that are discriminated against the ability to file federal lawsuits. And there are some incredible precedents, of course, that back all that up. So I thought, Jude, we'll take these 164 songs and we'll talk about them being banned by Clear Channel. Of course, that is a private entity. They can do what they want to with their business. But basically, they used corporate censorship to determine what you could listen to on their channels. I think it's wrong. And some of these reasons you will be absolutely blown away by. Okay, so again, we can't do all 164 songs. I guess we could, but we're not going to. Number 10 on your list. Any time that we can talk about Susanna Hoffs, that's a great thing, right? She was the subject of many a young man's dream back in the 80s. But did you know that Clear Channel banned the Bengals' "Walk Like an Egyptian"? That's your number 10 track. Well, why did they ban it, Steve? Well, they flagged it only because it referenced a country in the Middle East. That's it. So some people go out here and conduct an act of terrorism, and they won't play the Bengals. Number 9, this will blow your mind too. Probably one of the most benign songs that has ever been a hit in the history of the world. Did you know that Clear Channel banned "Imagine" from John Lennon? They did, for a short time, but they did. They pulled it. Well, why? They said it was a pacifist message. So again, it's kind of viewpoint discrimination there, right? Number 8, another one that'll kind of blow your mind a little bit. And you probably look at it and say, well, this kind of makes some sense, even though it's kind of a metaphorical leap, to say the least. Korn's "Falling Away From Me" was pulled for about 3 months on Clear Channel Radio because they said it reminded people of the towers falling. Number 7. They weren't the only band that had a Tuesday song that got banned, but did you know that you couldn't listen to Tuesday's Gone from Lynyrd Skynyrd post 9/11 for about 120 days? And do you know why? Because 9/11 fell on a Tuesday. So Skynyrd and Ronnie Van Zant get pulled because of that? Yeah, you talk about overreach, right? That's part of it. And that's your number seven track. Number six, another rock song. It's Tool's Intolerance. Because they felt the message sent was contrary to what we should be doing, which is to be more tolerant. Even though the lyrical content has nothing to do with 9/11. But they pulled it. They did. Number five. And wasn't the only song with a similar theme that got pulled. But again, it just shows you the absurdity of all this. I don't know when everybody became so dadgum sensitive. But Van Halen's Jump couldn't be played up until the early stages of 2002. So basically the fourth quarter of 2001, Clear Channel would not allow Jump. Along those lines, they also wouldn't let Free Fallin' from Tom Petty be played, Fly Away from Lenny Kravitz, Living on a Jet Plane by Peter, Paul, and Mary, Ticket to Ride from the Beatles, and Jumper from Third Eye Blind. They were all lumped into the same pot of gumbo of censorship. Number four, and this will shock you a little bit too. Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun was another one that was banned for 120 days or so. Because after 9/11 and the immediate aftermath, you know, all you had was like, you know, the ash, and it was like these clouds, of course, of all of the debris and dirt and things like that. And they believed that the song Black Hole Sun reminded people of that. So we couldn't play it. Number three, another band that had several songs pulled, and we're going to use one that we've never had on the show before, AC/DC. Incredible. They would not allow Highway to Hell, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Shoot to Thrill, Hell's Bells, TNT, and Shot Down in Flames. But probably the one that will maybe raise the ire for you a little bit is Safe in New York City. And that's going to be your number three song. They wouldn't allow them to play Safe. And number one, how often are we playing Safe in New York City? It's a deeper cut anyway. It's not like it's a hit. But they banned it. Number two. And this is one, too. While I'm not a huge fan of this band, I like this song. But what's unfortunate about this is this was the number one album on the rock charts in the country. In fact, I believe it was the number one album on Billboard's Top 100, regardless of genre. But it's System of a Down's Chop Suey. What are we doing? Chop Suey? We have to ban that? And think about that for a second. That's the number one album in the country, at least on the rock charts. What do you think that did to their record sales? You're number one, all of a sudden we can't play your number one hit on the radio? Because it might hurt somebody's feelings. In addition to that, I'm going to run these down for you. Some other songs from that genre. Alice in Chains couldn't have Rooster, Them Bones, Down in a Hole, or Sea of Sorrow played. Slipknot couldn't have Left Behind and Wait and Bleed. Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff, banned. Nine Inch Nails' Head Like a Hole, banned. And Mudvayne's Death Blooms. And that's not even a song that they played regularly. It's incredible. But the band that basically got an absolute blanket ban was Rage Against the Machine. Absolutely incredible. Clear Channel, which owns dozens of rock stations around the country, pulled every song from every album that was ever recorded by Rage Against the Machine because of their kind of anti-establishment politics and the fact that they had been, you know, really, really, you know, outspoken about some actions of the American government over the years. So Clear Channel's like, no Rage, banned. So we're going to go with Freedom from Rage Against the Machine on number one. It's incredible. And this, again, is probably something that you weren't even aware of, that this happened. There have been multiple articles that have been written over the years. And, you know, one of the most important ones, I think, came from Kerrang! Magazine, like on the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. And listen, we should never forget 9/11. But when you've got record companies out here that are at the mercy of corporate rock radio, because at this point, you know, MTV was still kind of a thing, even though it was kind of skewing in the negative direction, you know, before it became 24 hours of ridiculousness, and nothing against Rob Dyrdek, rest in peace, Big Black. But it's just incredible that we can be manipulated like this. And we talk about having freedom, and we talk about having freedom of choice. And basically, you know, back in those days, everybody didn't have iTunes. Everybody didn't have the family plan where you could download whatever you want, Spotify thing. You just didn't have that stuff. Music wasn't so easily accessible. And so as a result, a lot of people still listened to terrestrial radio. And then the Fat Cats at Clear Channel decided what they thought was best for us. It's nuts, man. I didn't include this one on the list, but we'll give it an honorable mention here. Did you know that What a Wonderful World from Louis Armstrong was banned? Why in the world would you ban such, number one, a happy song? And of course, when I think, if I'm grieving, right, I want something to kind of pull me up. You know, the vocal stylings of Louis Armstrong are incredible. And so it wasn't just rock music, and it wasn't just rap music. It's nuts. And just to give you a couple more, too, like John Mellencamp's song, Crumbling Down, couldn't play it. Disco Inferno from the Tramps, right? Remember that? Couldn't play it. Couldn't play Hey Joe from Jimi Hendrix because of a reference to a gun. It's nuts, man. And so, again, our responsibility here on the Boneyard is to educate, entertain, and inform. And so I thought, hey, Jude's like, hey, you got any more conspiracy stuff for me? Well, here some is, right? And that's the thing that I like to do, is to kind of point out things that maybe you're not aware of. And again, I go back to this whole thing, you know, about, you know, the corporate decisions in the early 90s. And we were bamboozled. And initially I was too. I was like, well, hey, this is just a direction of new music, right? It's a new decade. It's a new generation. It's what they're going to do. I didn't realize that I was being brainwashed. And I love Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains, and I don't know what my life would be without them, right? That's the soundtrack of my life. But I didn't realize that we were being manipulated. I didn't realize that those guys making millions of dollars and holding these artists hostage were making decisions that we thought were our own. It's incredible to me. And again, there's so much about this that it's a machine, you know. And again, it's so interesting, too. I think I shared with you guys, too, about one of the things that I've uncovered here recently is that many of these record companies now are like, hey, iTunes is going to feature your album, but we're going to need all of the royalties for this period of time and for certain songs, maybe forever. And then so the band is like, well, hey, how are we going to make any money? And then the record company's like, well, cool. We just won't promote your stuff. And I got friends in music, as you guys know. And some of you have heard me tell this story before. I went to see a show out of state a few years ago. A friend of mine in the band, and known him a long time, loved the guy. And he goes, hey, man, you really need some new shirts. I said, dude, I think I have all these. He goes, no, you got some people you can buy some gifts for. I was like, dude, is it that bad? He goes, man, I don't know if we got enough money to buy gas to get to the next show. And this is when, you know, this is like, you know, 1,000-seat arena. And it's like, dude, could you help me a little bit? Not only did I buy a couple shirts, yeah, you know, I gave them a couple 20s too so they could eat a little bit better, right? And so, and that's what the record companies have done to some of your favorite artists. Is they can't make any money on streaming, and the little money that they get, the record company basically takes from them, basically is ransom to promote. Because the more times you hear these songs, the more likely you are to go buy a CD or download an album or go to a show and buy merch. And so they no longer see their music as an art form. They see it as marketing for their live shows. That's why it's so important to get out and go see live music. And guys, I wish I had the answer. I wish that I could just kind of tell you that this is what we can do to fight back. I just don't have any of those answers. So kind of an elongated top 10 list, but I felt it was important today for us to talk about this just because many of you, I think, were unaware of that. Jude, thanks again for the suggestion. And just so you know, I got something else I think you're going to enjoy on Friday's show. Won't be quite as long as this one, but nevertheless, it'll be something I think you'll enjoy. You kind of inspired me a little bit. If you have ideas for the top 10 list like Jude did, be sure and hit us up on X. Find Roy, my friend, at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, and I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. We do. And why? Well, they got the stuff we want. Simple as that. They have the things we want. We are not complicated creatures. We love Mississippi State. We love repping Mississippi State. We love wearing the Bulldog brand to identify with Mississippi State. That's a great arrangement for us. So when you're buying us gifts, don't overthink it. Just buy us Mississippi State stuff. You got a bunch of Bulldogs in your circle of influence, in your family, in your friend group. Don't go out and do the Jelly to Month Club. Just buy some Mississippi State merch, whether it be apparel, decorative items for the home, the office, what we need to detail out our fan cave. You can find it all at Campus Bookmart. It's like the North Pole for Bulldogs. Stop by and see them the next time that you're in town. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, then visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. And you guys know, again, just over 2 weeks away from the first game. So you have time. Order some merch. Wear it to town. Or just wait till you get here and pick it up on your way to the stadium. Perfectly located. Swing in there, get that stuff, and the next thing you know, you take that right, you're working your way around to your parking space. Campus Bookmark. Speaking of that stuff, too, the roundabout is finished. There was some concern it wouldn't be finished in time. It turns out those concerns were unfounded. They did have some rain that kind of slowed them down a little bit, but they got it all taken care of in plenty of time before school started, well ahead of football season. And so when you come to town, things are going to be a little bit discombobulated, though. As I've mentioned, the construction on 182 and downtown. Now, why we're doing these projects simultaneously on two major thoroughfares, that's, you know, I can't answer for that. But there's always a little bit inconvenience with progress. And so I mention that because many of your normal routes to campus may be somewhat impeded. Now, for those of you coming in off 45, getting on 82, no problem. No problem at all. You guys coming up 25, going to 12, no problem. You pass 12, get to 82, no problem. However, if you wanted a shortcut, folks, and it's used to taking 182 to kind of avoid some of the traffic on 82 and 12, you're not going to be able to do it. We're just not going to have it ready in time. Unless something changes, you know. I know they want to get it done, but I would plan accordingly as we get a little closer. We'll keep you updated here on the show, too. I can tell you those folks are working incredibly hard. But you need to be mindful, too. Downtown has got still some work to be done, and then there will be some cleanup that's required. And listen, even what's done is still a little bit bumpy in places. They got some work to do. So be mindful of that as we get closer to game day, that your regular route may be somewhat impeded. Just be mindful. Be aware of it. Everybody thinks they got a shortcut around town. Doesn't always work out that way. And I can tell you, again, I feel so bad for our downtown merchants. I know it's going to be great in the end, but some people didn't make it to the end. They can't even see over into the promised land because they're doing something else for a living now. And I hate that. But that's the reality of life. So to kind of give you an update, too, you know, we're still waiting on this Jerron Manning and Malik Siwa thing. Again, the briefs, as I told you guys on Monday, everything has been filed. You know, we're expecting an answer at any moment. Now, I was told maybe once everything was filed by Monday, we'd probably in about 3 days. Well, that would be tomorrow. But that's just an expert estimation. That is not a guarantee of anything. Now, there have been some other things that are happening around there, and I think it's important to understand everything that is happening on the state court level, in many respects, all stems from the root of the Sweeney decision that first kind of granted everybody that 5 years of eligibility. So, it will be interesting to see how it plays out. Some people are out there trying to suggest, oh, no, it's not going to have any effect. Again, it's not a cafeteria. We're not going to Morrison's or Luby's or Piccadilly. That's not what we do, right? Not when it comes to the law. The law applies equally to everybody, or at least it should. And so some people are saying, hey, well, they granted us a fifth year of eligibility, so that applies to me. But I've got a ruling in a state court that says no matter what happens in Colorado, I'm good. I just don't think that's the case. I'm no lawyer. But you can't say that the ruling of the district court that benefits you is applicable, but the ruling from the 10th Circuit Appeals Court about that exact decision, if that is an adverse decision, it's going to be a difficult thing. And one of the things that I think actually works against the Wisney thing, and again, you never know how a court's going to rule, right? You just never know. But I think one of the things that hurts the Wisney versus NCAA plaintiffs in this matter is all the chaos that we've seen in the last couple of days. If you go back and you look at the original argument from the NCAA, and I told you guys, again, I am rooting for Manning and Siwa to be eligible because it makes us a better football team, right? And defense, we could use another edge. You could always use another safety, right? Period. That understood. The NCAA from the beginning said this is going to create chaos in college sports with rosters and things of that nature, right? The Wisney plaintiffs tried to say, oh, well, no, why would there be chaos? Well, guess what we got now? Absolute chaos. And if you do any research at all about the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, they are very much status quo proponents. So, basically, what we need to assume, and I suspect that's the case with Jeff Lebby and Zach Selman right now, we need to assume that Jerron Manning and Malik Siwa are not going to be with us. In the event that they are with us, then that becomes a bonus. But you can't build a two deep and a roster with any expectation for the month of September with them in it. And I think that's the best way to go about it. At this point, you cannot count on them. You can't depend on them. And that's not a shot at them. It's just if you elevate them into a position of responsibility, and we have not, then you're cutting into reps for other players. So any reps they're getting right now are going to be not at the expense of your two deep. And we've seen that in practice too. Limited participants the other day, but again, don't know what's going to happen with this thing. And like you guys, I'm eager to know one way or another, not just to remove this as a topic of conversation, but just because everybody needs to know how to proceed. And we got that, you know, ruling in Ohio. They stayed the motion. And so now they're going to hear actual arguments on the merits at some point in September, I think the 22nd. But in the event of 10th Circuit, again, it all goes back to the original root. And so how this plays out, I'm not a legal expert. I'm just trying to do my best to share with you guys what I have learned through my own research and then talks with some of my own legal representation about how this all works. So, and as I've mentioned before too, you know, some of the loudest voices out there about this particular topic are sports lawyers. And so I don't know if you've done a lot of research into those guys. Many of those guys, their batting average is somewhere around the Mendoza line because they profit on the chaos, right? And you'll see them, oh, we're so glad to get this ruling, whatever. And a lot of that, too, is to raise their own personal profile. And so people that have a vested interest in these particular decisions are not necessarily the best arbiters of information just because of the fact that they have a bias. They do. You're like, oh, the NCAA has done this. Guys, the NCAA, again, is not an entity unto itself. It is made up of the membership of schools just like yours. So it's not like it's the federal government, you know, where there's, you know, you don't have representation or you feel like you don't, but you do with the NCAA. Mississippi State is a member institution of the NCAA. We have had multiple student athletes that have been part of some of these NCAA committees. As you guys know, John Cohen, when he was our athletic director, was on the D1 baseball committee for years, as was Larry Templeton. And currently now Scott Strickland is the SEC representation there. But the SEC is represented on every major committee. So it's not like, you know, that pencil pusher in an office somewhere is just kind of unilaterally making these decisions against the will of the membership. That's just not how it works. And there have been some things in the past when Mark Emmert was there that he kind of overstepped his mandate. Charlie Baker, of course, has, I think, done his best to try to bring some normalcy to things and some guardrails, but it feels like we're fighting an uphill battle because every time we turn around, we're back in court. And what's interesting, too, is it's the losses from the NCAA in the courtroom that tend to get amplified on social media. I suspect, until I wrote that article the other day, that talked about the success in the last 12 months the NCAA's had at the appellate court level, that's where they're winning appeals. For some reason, that doesn't generate clicks or headlines. And so, what is it, the 2nd and 3rd, 7th and 9th districts, I think, that have already overturned similar cases? And you guys are just fans of college sports. You're just like, Steve, just let me know, are they going to be able to play or not, right? And so we can't tell you yet. But I can tell you that the recent legal precedent has actually favored the NCAA. And that's something that I don't think gets adequately communicated. And so I think at this point, you know, you just kind of keep your fingers crossed. See those guys as a bonus to what we already have because we built the roster not even thinking about them at any point. We never thought this would be possible. So you have to see this as a surplus to what we've already acquired when it comes to roster management. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You know that, right? We've done it. We had a great time. It's so nice to have everybody under one roof. And the older you get, man, the more rare those occasions prove to be. You don't realize it when they're growing up. It's like I heard somebody say earlier today, like you give your whole life the people that you just couldn't live without to raise them so that they get to a point that they can live their own lives without you. And that's the truth, right? So you got to make memories as often as you can. You can make some great ones at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You know, it's so incredibly conveniently located a campus. You can check out all your favorite shops and restaurants while you're here. 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, soon to be 3 baths. In addition to that, too, you got the full-service kitchen, the back porch area, the wet bar, the fire pit area, plenty of parking. Incredible place to stay. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse so you can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. There's only a couple neighbors out there, so plenty of peace and quiet. We like to keep it that way, right? So respect the neighbors, but man, you can have a great time there. When you do that Google search, you're also going to have some booking options that pop up. You can go through Airbnb or VRBO, or Vrbo, whatever you want to call it, or you can save some money by booking through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10, that's beautiful Steve Robertson, and the number 10 to get 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're saving some money at the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Open 365 days a year. Be sure and check it out today. All right, by now you know when we have our open date for football, Mississippi State's going to play some baseball. And I get it, right? It's a great time because you think, okay, we get to see our boys play. And it's true. Friday, October 9th and Saturday, October the 10th. Now, that is the last weekend of cruising the coast, I think. I think it's what they call it. So, hotels are going to be difficult to come by. Know that ahead of time. Maybe you got to stay a little farther away. I had somebody tell me earlier they're staying in Mobile, and then it's going to drive in. Check it out. Maybe that's what works for you. So, Friday at 6 p.m. and then 2 p.m. on Saturday. Auburn on Friday, Southern Miss on Saturday. Tickets are on sale, and we expect this thing to sell out very, very quickly. You know some Southern Miss folks are going to come down too. And you want to win these games, but you want to get some valuable experience for some of your younger guys. I suspect that you want to see some of these younger pitchers. You're going to get a chance to see them down there. Now, this is the first year the NCAA has allowed 4 scrimmage games against other opponents. Previously, it had been 2. We're going to take advantage of the full 4. And why would you not, right? Because the chance to play somebody else is always very valuable experience. So there is another one that's being worked on in another minor league ballpark. I suspect it'll be reasonably close. Not exactly sure where it's going to be yet. And then there's going to be another scrimmage in Starkville. So you're going to have 4 opportunities to see the Diamond Dogs play another D1 baseball program this fall. So in addition to the regular fall scrimmages that you've grown so accustomed to, 4 chances. And what a great opportunity. And I'm so glad we're doing this down at Keesler Federal Park. Number one, we love taking this show on the road. And I do understand that accommodations are going to come at a premium. So you need to be aware of that. We're already getting some reports over Gene's page of people that, you know, multiple $100 a night. Maybe you only need it for one night. You know, we'll see. Or maybe you stay in Hattiesburg and enjoy some great cuisine there and just drive back and forth. I mean, really, it's only the one night. But that's totally up to you how you do it. But again, great for Brian O'Connor and the Mississippi State Administration to give us really a glimpse into kind of what we can be against some teams that are going to be competing right along with us for regional host spots, right? I mean, you know, these were, you know, teams that were in the top nine national seeds. You know, Southern Miss ends up just short of a top eight. But be that as it may, anytime that we get a chance to get together as a family and enjoy some college baseball, that's always a great thing. Your first look, really, at your 2027 Mississippi State team. But again, you're going to have four opportunities, and you need to take advantage of as many of those as you can. And we'll be down there covering. We got to kind of adjust our prep coverage. We've got a couple things. You know, we will be headed out to FanFest the Friday of the South Carolina game. And I'll be signing books out there and shaking hands, all that good stuff. We look forward to going to that. But that's going to mean we had originally planned to go watch Riverdale High School play outside of Murfreesboro. And then spend the night somewhere between Murfreesboro and Columbia, go cover the game, and then come home. So now we got to push all the way into Columbia, and we're happy to do it, to go to FanFest and be a part of the festivities there and see some great Bulldog fans from the Carolinas, and we'll cover the game and come home. So a little less travel for us, but also it's you know, gives us less content opportunities because of the fact we don't get a chance to go see all those Riverdale players, and hopefully maybe we can work something out later in the year to go do it. But that's what happens, the best laid plans of mice and men. We sit down, put together a prep schedule, and then we have a couple of events pop up, and we just simply can't miss them. We can't miss going down to cover the Diamond Dogs, and we can't miss going to FanFest South Carolina. What's interesting about that, too, for those of you that don't know, and I believe we've already had about 300 RSVPs for that event. Let me give you a little more detail here too. So for those of you that are making the trip to Columbia to watch the Bulldogs beat the Gamecocks, and that is what we expect to happen, you're going to be looking for something to do, you know, on Friday night. I mean, that's just kind of what we do, how we do it. You know, we're there. We like to eat some local cuisine and things of that nature, and that's all great stuff. But it's the Follywood Fan Fest, Friday, September the 18th. Going to run from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Steel Hands Brewing. And so free admission, open to the public, and it is an all-age event. I'm sitting here looking at the ad now just to kind of make sure that I give you all the details. Yeah. Friday, September the 18th, Steel Hands Brewing. There'll be live music, all kind of cool stuff. Jupiter Coyote is playing, if you know anything about them. I don't. We look forward to that. And then the Gritty Flywright and the Music Family are going to be there as well. So it looks like we'll have a lot of live music. We don't know who the closing act will be. But, again, great opportunity to be able to go celebrate your Mississippi State fandom before we beat South Carolina at Williams-Brice. And we're going to go ahead and speak that into existence because we understand how important that game is. We need to win some SEC games at home, as you guys are well aware. We hadn't won an SEC game at home in a long time. And we had some success on the road at Arkansas, but we need some success at South Carolina. And of course, they've had some injuries too, but that'll be week three. We got some things to deal with between now and then. Got Louisiana Monroe on September 5th. Then we'll make that trip to Minnesota. We'll come back, and then we'll head over to Columbia to provide coverage of that ball game over there. And it's going to be incredible. I mean, it's going to be an incredible night. It's going to be an incredible weekend. And we hope it's going to be an incredible season. So we hope that you will all come be a part of all of this and just kind of be excited about, you know, living life a little bit and just kind of enjoy the fact that we are college sports fans. And we just get excited about any chance that we can get to get out there and go watch. High school football is a great thing, but sometimes we have to kind of stick on the fly. And I was supposed to be there at FanFest, and I want to thank everybody out there at South Carolina for what they've done. The last time we played there, I was supposed to be a part of FanFest. And we ended up having to go out to San Diego, I think it was. Yeah, it was we had to go to True Rest Convention. That was right before we opened True Rest. And, you know, coming up on our third year. Isn't that crazy to think about? I guess we're like 6 months away from celebrating our 3-year anniversary, and things have been great. So that's, I didn't get to go to Williams-Brice last time, so I'm looking forward to it this time. And it's one of the last stadiums for me. I think this one in Oklahoma will complete my bingo card for football. Done all the rest of them. And so it's crazy to think, even though we hadn't played South Carolina a lot, that in my career I've covered baseball there multiple times, but never football. And we won't get the full Williams-Brice experience because it is a day game, but maybe that works in our favor. I just want to win football games. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about the rest of it. I just want to win football games. And that's one that I think is winnable. And they've had some injuries, as you guys are well aware, and we've been very fortunate in that respect. And as we've mentioned before, that, you know, Colin Coates out for the year, a young man that we expected to provide some depth on the defensive line. But, yeah, I mean, we're gonna be fine there. He was not a guy that we were accounting for within our two deep on the defensive line. So you hate it for the young man because it's a double whammy, as I wrote the other day, because he missed all of last year and missed this year. He transferred to State from Charlotte and hadn't been able to suit up in a regular season game yet. But just put those events on your calendar. And, of course, as you begin to kind of prepare and make your own arrangements to make that trip to South Carolina, put this Fan Fest, the Follywood Fan Fest, on your list of things to do, right? Simple enough, right? A lot of other things going on, as you guys are well aware. You know, we're working through some recruiting stuff. We have Deshaun Dillon supposed to announce his decision on August 22nd. At this point, I still don't know for sure what he's going to do. I believe it is down to Mississippi State and Georgia Tech. And as we get closer to the weekend, we'll have a Friday show, and maybe we'll have better clarity on kind of what to expect. He is going to announce on the 247 Sports CBS platforms at noon on Saturday. His finalists are Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, and Mississippi State. But I've been told it is down between Tech and the Bulldogs. And I do believe that he has made a decision and maybe hasn't communicated that yet. So, again, we will see what the ebb and flow looks like by the time we get to Friday. And ultimately, we'll all find out for sure together on Saturday. But on Friday, I think we'll have a pretty good handle if it's going to be us. I will tell you, I've been doing this a long time. And I have never gone into an announcement and been surprised that a guy picked Mississippi State. Does it make sense to you? Like back in the day when we used to go to press conferences, like I've never gone to a press conference and watched a player not pick Mississippi State. It's never happened in my career because we do our due diligence ahead of time. I'm not going to go get in the car and go do that. Well, now everybody puts out a graphic and things like that, or they do a stream announcement. But I've never gone into these and not known how it was going to go and then been surprised that the Bulldogs won. That's typically how it goes. The schools that are not ultimately the pick are typically kind of in the dark until it all happens. And there have been times, of course, we'll get advanced notice guys are committing somewhere else and we'll pop up a crystal ball. But I can tell you, I really felt like the day after Deshaun Dillon's visit to Mississippi State that he was going to be a Bulldog. But again, some close to him continue to kind of think that he can play both sports. I just don't think it's possible. Not in the Southeastern Conference. That's just at least my feeling. You may feel differently, and that's okay. That's okay. Completely okay. I remember Brad Cumbus, you know, the last true two-sport athlete we had. He and Ethan Pulliam both tried to do it, and it's so incredibly difficult, not just because of the physical demands, but the mental demands, the demands on your time. There's just a lot to it, trying to put it all together. And Ethan Pulliam, obviously a guy that I think will be an NFL punter someday, you know. But I remember watching him growing up playing youth soccer with my own son. I was thinking, this guy may be a U.S. men's national team member. That's how talented he was. And everybody's like, oh, baseball's his sport. And he was great in baseball, too. You don't get to play at Mississippi State if you're an average player. You got to be a great player. And so very grateful for Ethan and his family, Chris. They're all just wonderful people. And so glad to have been acquainted with them all these many years and eager to see him kind of go and grow. But, again, when you think about the elite athletes that Ethan Pulliam and Brad Cumbus were and are, you begin to recognize how difficult it is to play two sports at a high level at a major conference. It's just one of those things that is so difficult to do. And if they can't do it, I don't think Deshaun can either. And that's not me taking a shot at him at his own commitment or his own ability. It's just kind of knowing that the human body needs some routine and at times some rest. And it's difficult to get either one of those when you're trying to play two sports. It's just almost impossible to do. Outside of that, there's not a lot of recruiting decisions that we're waiting on. And one of the things, you know, we're kind of building relationships, 2028 recruits, and, you know, doing stories on that. But there's not a lot on the 2027 side right now that is very emergent. And, of course, you know, we'll have some visits as we get deeper into the season. We'll have some, probably a couple of in-season visits. And then junior college guys will be November. You know, I don't know if that is a game weekend visit or we wait and do it after the Egg Bowl. I just don't know, you know. Just not exactly sure how it's going to play out. But it seems like right now everybody's kind of in evaluation mode and season mode. And what we need to do more than anything else is go win football games. You know, I go back to the beginning of Dan Mullen, right? You know, Dan Mullen in the beginning came in here and told everybody what he was going to do. And then he did it. And then recruiting got better, right? Because young men and women want to be part of a winning program that has a winning culture that gives them the opportunity to advance to the next level. And Dan sold the promise in the beginning, and eventually he had a little production. That's kind of where we are on the Levy side. We've shown a lot of promise. We hadn't had a ton of production. We had more last year. But if we're going to take the next step in recruiting, we got to take the next step on the field. And I feel like that's a repetitive issue, right? Everybody wants to be part of a winning program and a winning culture. Doesn't matter how nice the coaches are. Doesn't matter how nice the campus is. We talk all so much about facilities and NIL. Well, everybody has those things. Everybody has facilities. Everybody can provide a good education, some better than others. But if you're not winning, you're not going to get the better talents. And so that's where we kind of find ourselves. So we need to get things rolling, period. And how incredible would it be for us to be 3-1 or better at the end of September? Main thing we can't do is get down 2-2 or 1-3. Cannot happen. Cannot happen. I'll reiterate, we got to be at least 4 wins by Halloween. Have to be. If you haven't done so, visit DutyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Be sure and check that out. You can those of you that have been looking for Blooms of Oleander, you can find them at the Max now, by the way. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's nice to have 3 books in the Max. Super cool. Come visit us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. Tell her how much you love me. Tell her what a great guy I am. Not that she needs to be reminded, but it doesn't hurt for her to be reminded. You can just say, hey, Steve always talks about you on the show. And many of you mention it. I feel like I know you, Dana. You can say, you know what, Dana, Steve's great. Great! And come join us over at Jeans Page. Speaking of great, we got some great savings for you. 60% off the annual subscription price during the month of August as we have our pre-kickoff special over at 247 Sports. That's going to do it for tonight, man. We'll see you guys next time. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.